We're your hosts. I'm Diane Bortoletto.
And I'm Monique Chicago. Let's do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to And Away We Go, a Formula One podcast that goes beyond the track limits to talk about travel, food, and lifestyle surrounding the sport. I'm Diane Bortoletto, a long-time pre-Drive to Survive Formula One fan, and today I'm in Perth in Western Australia.
And I'm Monique Chicago. I'm your post-Drive to Survive fan, currently at home in Stavanger in Norway. It's been just over a week since the 2024 Formula One season ended, but it feels like so much longer. I don't know about you, Di, but honestly, this weekend I could not have been more thankful that I was away so I had something to do while there was no racing. Ugh, but yes. It feels like it's been forever.
Yeah, it does feel like it's been forever. I'm the same. I've had a super busy weekend and I'm, you know, doing unfun things like chores and stuff. But, you know, in some ways I'm grateful for that because I've just not really had time to mourn the end of the season.
Mourning is the right word for sure.
Yep, mourning the end of the season. But, you know, we've got a lot to be thankful for and it's been such a cracker. It's the best Formula One season in my living memory. It's just been so full of changes and challenges and battles on and off the track. It's been amazing. And of course, we've launched And Away We Go podcast. So, you know, there's been a lot of history making this year.
A lot to be thankful for 2024. I agree with you. The 2023 season, 2022 season, you know, it was fine. it was fine, but it was nowhere near as interesting and as exciting as 2024. So if we take a look back at the 2024 season, what was your favorite moment?
Oh, look, there's been a few. I loved Carlos Sainz winning Melbourne 2 weeks after having his appendix out and coming back to win. That was just a triumph of stamina and fitness and just amazing what the body can do. Also Monza, I mean, how can you not just be in awe of those scenes of the Tifosi on the track after Charles Leclerc won Monza? It was absolutely phenomenal. And I think no matter where you go in the world, there are always Ferrari fans at every race. You go to the British Grand Prix, there's British fans for the British-based teams, but there's always Ferrari fans there as well. And I don't think any sport in any league, anywhere in the world can boast having fans like the Tifosi. It's almost a movement. It's like the Tifosi are the fans in the sports world, like the Swifties are the fans in the music world.
That is the perfect analogy.
I've been thinking about it a lot. And I suppose what made me think about it was that I've seen girls at races doing the friendship bracelets and swapping them, making them with like Leclerc or Ferrari. I've seen ones with Leo on it for the dog, the puppy, and which we'll get to in a sec.
Of course the young girls have Leclerc on their bracelets. It's just, we all know the biggest fan base for Leclerc. But I completely forgot about Carlos Sainz and the appendix situation. And there was so much going on around that afterwards. I think Lando was talking about how he should get his appendix out if it makes you win races. And I forgot about that.
What about you, Mon? What's been your favourite moment of all favourite races of the 24 season?
I am going to say seeing our boy Oscar Piastri win. I say that I'm a Ferrari fan too, but I just can't help being behind the Aussies. And that was just really, really exciting. I think being his second season, to see him come through with a win, it's always exciting to see someone who hasn't won before come through with a win, especially when they're your countrymen.
100%. And, you know, for Oscar Piastri in his second season of Formula One to take his first win and not win one race, but two races and also two sprint races when his teammate Lando Norris has been in the team for 4 years.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. So Lando Norris is, and he got his first win this season as well. And Oscar Piastri, as we've said in the last episode, the only driver to do every single lap of every single race in 2024 is, yeah, that really, really special seeing Oscar Piastri win. That's a really good moment to pick, Mon.
Speaking of winners, we had 7 different winners this season. 7. That's huge. There's only 24 races.
So of those 7 winners, Obviously, Max Verstappen took the most with 8. Then we had Leclerc and Norris both with 3 wins. Then Hamilton, Russell and Sainz, and Piastri all with 2 wins. The competition this year has been, from a fan's point of view, an absolute delight to watch. Anybody who says that Formula One is boring needs to get their head checked.
And needs to watch the 2024 season. They need to go back and watch it all.
I know, I can't wait for Drive to Survive, which, by the way, is dropping on the 7th of March, is a date that I've seen flying around. Feels so far away.
It does, especially when we've just been talking about how it feels like it's been forever since there's been a race on, and it's only been a week or just over a week. Oh my God.
I know. 7 different winners was just fantastic. Obviously, one of the wins that Hamilton got was winning his home race at Silverstone. You know, I did shed a tear when Piastri won his first race. I shed a tear when Leclerc won in Monza and also in Monaco. You could just see what that meant to him. And also when Hamilton won Silverstone, it's just joyful, just heartwarming and so well deserved. It was, yeah, a really fabulous moment in Formula One.
Yeah, and I can't remember how long his winless streak went, but it was a long winless streak for our Sir Lewis Hamilton. And to break that winless streak in Silverstone, I don't think it could have been a better fairy tale ending, really.
So, as we mentioned last week, we have Pierre Gasly, who is the only driver that didn't cause any damage to a Formula One car. So he cost the team $0 in repairs. But Mon, you've come across something fun. What's the Crash Damage Championship?
Look, I'm going to take your little fun fact crown for 2 seconds here.
Please do.
So obviously we have the Constructors' Championship, which was taken out this year by McLaren. But we also have the Destructors' Championship, which was taken out in a 1-2 by Williams. Oh, gosh. The poor team. Across the season, they had the biggest damage bill and the most damage to their cars. Oh, it's a big number. €13,839,600.
So in Australian dollars, that's like 432 million Australian dollars. No, maybe not that much.
A million billion.
It would be over 20 million Australian dollars for sure. That is a huge number in one season in costs that could have been avoided. You know, sometimes someone crashes into you, it's not your fault, but wow, that's a big number for a team that's been known to have budget issues in the past. I think that's changed, let me say, but that's a big number, 20 million.
Right. They're not a team that, as you said, have unlimited financials. I mean, number 2 on the list has seemingly unlimited financials. Red Bull clocked in at the 2nd highest bill, which was less than half of what Williams wound up with. But
wow.
Yeah, still €6 million. And McLaren came out quite unscathed. They came in 10th in the Destructors' Championship, which is probably definitely actually where you want to come. And they only had $2,300,000 worth of damage.
Red Bull was over $10 million Australian dollars in damage. And then there was Ferrari. It was probably about close to €5 million, which is about $8 million Australian, $8 or $9 million Australian. And then last year, McLaren, like you said, we're looking at around, it's probably $4.5 million. Yeah, $4.5 million Australian dollars, which is pretty low when you think of Williams. Wow, that's, oh, not a championship you want to win, but the Destructors' Championship, that was a good find, Mon.
I feel bad bringing it up because it's not exactly the most positive thing, but it's an interesting fact, and I found it really interesting to see that Red Bull was 2nd in that championship. Given that we have the world champion this year comes from that team, you would expect that their damage bill wouldn't be so great, but we won't go into why that could be.
Yeah, I've got another fun fact for you.
Oh, of course you do.
And another fun fact with Red Bull. So in Q1 exits, Max Verstappen, since 2016 up until this season, he's had 5 Q1 exits.
Wow.
Whereas this season alone, his teammate Sergio Perez has had 6 Q1 exits. It's not a good stat for Sergio Perez, and the rumours are still flying around, although he's listed on the official FIA drivers list for 2025 that the teams have to submit their drivers, and the FIA puts out an official list, and Sergio Perez is listed as a Red Bull driver, but you know, we're just waiting for an announcement of who that's going to be, which RB V-Cub driver, whether it's Kiwi Liam Lawson in his rookie, not even season, his rookie first half season, his rookie seven races, you know, like Kiwi Liam Lawson or Yuki Tsunoda, who's been with the team for 4 years. Yeah, we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, I know Horner has come out and officially said that if there are changes to the Red Bull seat, i.e. Sergio won't be racing, then the replacement will either be Yuki or Liam Lawson. So yeah, he's cleared up any of the rumours swirling around that, you know, they might be looking at someone from outside their current lineup, but he still hasn't confirmed whether or not Sergio will be leaving. And I think that's a lot to do with the contract that's currently in place and Sergio really sticking steadfast to that contract.
Yeah. So the rumours I'm hearing is that Sergio Perez is looking for a $20 million payout from Red Bull.
Speaking of exits from Formula One, this season has been absolutely crazy. We lost two drivers mid-season, and that's not something that happens every season. So unfortunately, we saw our beloved Daniel Ricciardo out of a seat after the Singapore Grand Prix in the most unceremonious way.
It was so emotional.
It was awful.
For a driver who is loved beyond belief in the Formula One world with a huge fan base here in Australia, of course, but also in the US, for him to be so unceremoniously
dumped,
call it what it is. Yeah, he was just dumped, and watching him front up to do media interviews, oh, it was heartbreaking. It was so hard to watch. It was, yeah, we were all devastated for him, and you know, Formula One's poorer for it. It was a good lesson coming from a PR with my PR hat on. It was a really good lesson on how not to handle a driver departure. You know, within, it was like 15 minutes or no, actually that's a lie. It was within an hour that Team RB announced Liam Lawson as his replacement. As one comment had was written on Team RB's social media feed, Ricardo's body is still warm. They really could have handled that better, and they've recognised that, the team.
The worst thing was watching Ricciardo standing there doing the media at the Singapore Grand Prix. He knew. He already knew that that was his last race. That's why we cried. He was tearing up. Yeah, he was
totally. You know,
he knew it was his last race, and RB did not give him the decency of announcing it and, you know, saying thank you and giving him the farewell that he deserved. They saved it for the gap between Singapore and Vegas. Like, that was just, anyway, obviously very, very hurt Australians here.
Yeah, poorly handled by the team. They've recognised that. We're really sorry to see Danny Ric out of a seat, out of Formula One, and this clip flying around social media of him saying, nah, he's done. He's not coming back. You know, Cadillac, the rumours were going around that he was the preferred driver for the Cadillac team in 2026, and Daniel's just put those rumours to bed.
Has he put them to bed, or is he just being a master deflector?
Maybe. I don't know. Mon, have you got news?
I don't have news, but I'm holding out hope that maybe he's just a master deflector and he's like, oh, no, I'm done. And he's just, he's putting the conversation to bed so that he doesn't have to stoke any fires or spark any rumours or keep anything going. And, you know, he's just keeping his fan base quiet so that he has time to, this obviously this is just me saying this because I would really like this to be true and I would really like to see him driving for Cadillac.
Oh, it's hard maybe to see that come. Yeah, it, look, I think it's as nice as it would be to come back for a second comeback, because we already had one comeback into Formula One, come back again. As much as I would love to see, because I want to see Danny Ric on the grid, no, I don't. I can't see. I actually can't see it happening. And, you know,
yeah,
NASCAR are sniffing around. There's a $10 million paycheck apparently for him to go to NASCAR.
Something different? Something different for him? Something,
you know, he loves racing. He loves America. Who knows?
Watch this space, I guess. What's next? But that's to steal Valtteri Bottas's.
What's next? Valtteri Bottas. Did you see he was pulled over by the police?
Yes.
That was funny.
Yeah. And his partner, Tiffany Cromwell, bless, she was obviously filming it. But I think the caption was something along the lines of, you can take the Formula One driver out of the race, but you can't take the Formula One driver out of him, or something along those lines. Bottas is obviously another one of the casualties of the 2024 season. He no longer has a seat with State, and neither does his 2024 teammate, Zhao Guanyu. Bottas was the only person this season, the poor guy, the only full-time driver to finish without a point. I hate rehashing that stat because it's obviously not nice. And he's come out publicly and said, Stake F1 team, there was a lot going on, or a lot of nothing going on, basically. And he may have even referenced it being a mistake going to the team. Anyway, we won't harp on about that and gloss over that part. But he was a casualty of the 2024 season, and we're not going to be seeing him on the grid in 2025. And I am loving his What's Next branding. I'm not going to lie. There was something about 2023-2024 season where he's just realized that brand is everything, and he has gone hard. And he has taken this What's Next and run with it.
Bottas is also one of the few drivers who has a grid penalty to serve, but no seat in F1 anymore. So he's got a 5-place grid penalty, but he won't serve that unless he gets a seat in Formula One by some miracle. Jenson Button is another one, and Robert Schwartzman is the other.
That had penalties to serve without a seat?
Correct.
He will have to sit that 5-place grid penalty, even if he gets a seat in 2026, right? He will start his first race with the 5-place grid penalty.
I don't know how it works. I don't know. We might have to do a rule check on that one, whether it continues on to, like, if you skip a season or not. Is it like demerit points? Do you go back to zero? Like, I don't know how it works.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to know, because imagine the poor guy starting 2026 season with a penalty served from 2024. While we're on the topic of losing drivers, we also lost our American driver, Logan Sargeant, from Williams mid-season. The poor guy was not having a good run of races at all. And there was one very deciding accident, and that was at the Dutch Grand Prix. That was, I think, the straw on the camel's back there. And he was dropped after that race and replaced by Franco Colapinto. He served out the rest of the season for Williams and did quite well serving out that season.
He did well for the first three races, and everyone was watching him. Oh my God, Franco Colapinto, look at this young hotshot. Look at this future world champion. They were all so impressed with him. And then he had something like 5 crashes in 3 races, which really boosted their standings in the Destructors Championship that you talked about earlier. I think he does probably deserve a place in Formula One. He's certainly a talented driver. I'm sure we'll see him on the grid sometime soon.
Fun fact about that, there have been some rumours swirling around that Alpine are actually quite interested in Franco Colapinto. Obviously not for the 2025 season, because they've locked that in and they've got Doohan on the grid. So yay, Aussie. And he actually, he raced his first Formula One race at the very end of the 2024 season in Abu Dhabi. They obviously can't take on Colapinto this year because they're locked and loaded. But rumours have been swirling that they're interested in him potentially after 2025, and not solely because of his racing skill. They're kind of aware of the potential that he brings dollar-wise, sponsorship-wise, because he's Argentinian. So having the Argentinian support and fan base, I guess the sponsorship potential that he brings from that is quite appealing to a team who obviously does not have the budgets of Red Bull, McLaren, you know, Mercedes, all that sort of stuff. So personally, it upsets me, obviously, because Aussie driver, we don't want to see Doohan kicked out because of sponsorship potentials.
I know, but Formula One is a money sport as well. So I don't want to see it either, but it really is it's a business. Formula One is a business as much as it is a sport. We might see the very first female race engineer in Laura Muller, who is rumoured to be Esteban Ocon's race engineer, which is, that would be just so fabulous to hear a female voice on team radio. Can you imagine all of the women and girls out there studying all those subjects at university and school, hearing a female voice on team radio on Formula One? That would be just epic. Let's hope that happens. Let's hope history's made next season.
I would absolutely love to see that, because if you don't see yourself represented in different fields, whether that be race engineer, I don't know, cooking, whatever it is, if you don't see yourself represented, how can you aspire to that? So this would be huge. Absolutely huge.
Massive.
And obviously Ocon didn't get the farewell that he deserved either, being dumped from that last race. I feel like there were so many people that didn't really get the fanfare that they deserved leaving the teams, because Magnussen isn't returning this season.
That's right. Yet. Did you see all the clips with his little daughter in the garage with him? Oh my God, that was so sweet. That was one of the sweetest things I've ever seen. Speaking of daughters and children, so another fun fact, Sebastian Vettel became a father after he won his fourth world championship. Who's just won his fourth world championship and announced a pregnancy?
Verstappen.
Exactly. Isn't that a little fun fact? And they both drove for Red Bull at that time.
There you go. It's history repeating itself. One of the biggest bombshells of the season, Hamilton announcing his departure from Mercedes.
At the start of the year, no less. It's like getting divorced but living with your husband for the rest of the year. I mean, that's got to be hard, and that takes a lot of mental fortitude, I think, from Hamilton, but as well as from everybody working with him in his team, to not kind of clock out and just want the year to be done because your focus is on what's next, you know, to steal Bottas's line. But speaking of, you know, no fanfare farewells in Formula One, Hamilton had, his farewell just has kept going, and it's a farewell that keeps giving, right? But I've loved every second of it. I've loved seeing everything, and it's been obviously a massive moment for him, massive moment for the team, hugely emotional for pretty much every Formula One fan. There's no other way to say.
Yeah, because it's a 12-year relationship, isn't it, that's come to an end now.
But what they've achieved, it's the most successful partnership in any sport, in any discipline in the world. It's phenomenal.
No wonder it was emotional then. But I think seeing all that social media, the celebrations that they'd put on for Hamilton, and all of this kind of hoo-ha ado about Hamilton leaving, then really made it abundantly clear how little the other drivers that were either leaving Formula One altogether or just leaving teams and changing colours for the season, how little all of their achievements were celebrated. You know, Carlos Sainz is leaving Ferrari to go to Williams. And
yeah,
I mean, he probably got more fanfare than Magnussen did, but still.
Oh, I feel like Hamilton and Carlos Sainz were tributed by the teams in the right way and in the best possible way, you know, for the teams, for the personnel, for everyone in the factories, for the fans. I think it was done really well, whereas exactly like you said, Mon, the other drivers dumped, said goodbye without having an opportunity to go back to the factory to thank everybody that they've worked with. And yeah.
Massive news on the Formula One front. Charles Leclerc got a dog.
Not just a dog, an absolute beautiful, gorgeous little bundle, a blonde miniature dachshund. It just the cutest little thing. I think Lewis Hamilton started the trend with Roscoe, whom he takes to races with him when he can. Charles has his dog, Leo, of course. Pierre Gasly also has a very cute little toy poodle puppy called Simba, who's been at Formula One races in the paddock as well.
It wasn't just Leo then. Although I think Leo caused the biggest stir, potentially also because of the fan base of Charles Leclerc being quite young, quite female. So some interesting news actually that has come out in the last week or so is that Rwanda have officially launched their bid for a Formula One race, which I'm fairly certain Africa is the only continent that doesn't host a Formula One race yet. We could potentially be seeing our first race there. When I was at the Qatar Grand Prix, actually, there was a big tourism stall set up by Rwanda. And I remember walking past it and getting their free coffee, which was actually very delicious. But I remember walking past it and thinking it was a really interesting stall to have set up at a, you know, at a Formula One race, and couldn't quite see the connection. But obviously now I see the connection.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, Rwanda, is it on your travel radar, Mon?
Funnily enough, it actually is. I picked up a business card from one of the ladies at the stall because I'm really interested in destinations that maybe aren't necessarily the first place that people think to travel. And I was like, oh, this could be interesting. So if there's a Formula One race there, even more of a reason to go, right?
It's been such a huge season in 2024 on the grid in 2025. Just a quick recap. We've said goodbye to Magnussen and Zhou Guan Yu and Bottas. Hamilton's moved to Ferrari. We haven't spoken about Kimi Antonelli, who's going to be the rookie for Mercedes. So he's taking Hamilton's place. And Ollie Bearman, a rookie who we saw step in for Carlos Sainz when he had appendicitis and drive for Ferrari and score points with, like, in an incredible race. Ollie Bearman will be a rookie for Haas with teammate Esteban Ocon, who's leaving Alpine. Australian Jack Doohan going to Alpine. Yeah, we're excited about that, to have another Aussie on the grid. And heartbreakingly, Carlos Sainz is leaving Ferrari to go to Williams. And Hülkenberg will be partnering with rookie, my cousin, Gabrielle Bortoletto, one T, not two, for Kicksalver.
Yes, and Gabrielle Bortoletto was our Formula 2 champion in 2024. So they've got a fairly solid rookie joining them.
They do. Oh, did you see your favourite curly head team principal, Binotto, saying that he would never have signed Hamilton to Ferrari? And I like that Fred Vasseur, who's the team principal of Ferrari, come out and say, I'm glad people have time to comment with what's going on with our team. I'm pretty much left it at that.
Good on him.
Fun fact, Ferrari was the only team to not have a single Q1 elimination during the 2024 season.
Oh, wow.
And speaking of Ferrari, another fun fact for you is that Charles Leclerc has out-qualified his teammate, Carlos Sainz, this season. But Charles Leclerc has out-qualified every teammate that he's had. So in 2018, it was Ericsson. He out-qualified Ericsson 17-4. In 2019, it was Vettel 12-9. In 2020, with Vettel 13-4. In 2021, Carlos Sainz 13-9. 15-7. 15-7 again in 23, and in 24, it was 15-9. Obviously, Oliver Bearman was one of those as well, because Carlos Sainz had his appendix out. But there you go.
Yeah. Give this man a world championship already. If he's out-qualified, it'll happen.
It will happen. It will happen. Oh, another fun fact, with Verstappen winning four back-to-back titles, Hamilton won four back-to-back titles before Verstappen started winning, and this is the first time in Formula One history that two drivers have won four back-to-back titles, one after the other. Oh, another fun fact. So every time Verstappen has, the last 4 years, when Verstappen has won the championship, the runner-up has always had a terrible year the following season. So in 2021, the following year, Hamilton was sixth, Leclerc was fifth, Perez was eighth, Norris is the runner-up this year. Who knows? We'll have to see how he goes next year.
Well, maybe that means it might be Piastri's year.
Oh, I think it is. That's my prediction. As much as I would love to see Ferrari, of course, I think next year is Oscar Piastri's year. I'm calling it.
Oh, let's hold you to that. Look, I really, really hope that you're right in this. I mean, if McLaren keep their form up that they had this year, there is absolutely no reason at all that we can't see Oscar Piastri as a world champion next year. Imagine that, in his third year.
Yeah, I know. And it'll be the first time there's been an Australian Formula One world champion since, I think it's Alan Jones in 1980. Before we wrap up, we've got lots to look forward to next week. is Christmas week. So hopefully there'll be a lot of downtime for a lot of people listening. And we've got you covered with lots of F1 movies and series that you can watch. So we'll talk about that next week. And then we're going to start kicking off with some very exciting Formula One interviews.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening app. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, or suggestions, please email us at andawaywegofonepodcast@gmail.com or leave us a comment on any of our social media channels. Search for And Away We Go F1 Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube. You can find us everywhere. And let's chat.
Amazing. Thank you, Mon. Just before we sign off, I just want to read out a listener review. So thank you very much for those that have rated and reviewed and listened to And Away We Go. We've got this great review from Aragonzo, who says, love the passion and knowledge of both women, not only for Formula One, but for the cuisine and culture of the cities hosting the races. So thank you, Aragonzo, for leaving a review. Thank you, Mon, and thank you for having us in your ears. 85 days to Australia and counting. Until next week and until lights out.
It's lights out and away we go.
And Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto and Monique Ciccato.
Let's do it.